Aren't you glad for that God made us the way he did to be able to feel? Aren't you glad? Oh, hallelujah. I know we can't go by feelings, but I sure, like Brother Branham said, I sure enjoy it.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. I believe it's C. Yeah. The chimes of time ring out the new, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his life you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't
in my heart.
in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be
appreciate that tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. How many is thankful you got the victory tonight? Well, I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory. Oh, how He came. All about the angels. singing has that old redemption story and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victor. All that Sam is singing, oh, it's victory. He's my Savior forever. That tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be together again. Well, I started to tell Brother Stephen to turn the air down. It's getting too cold. And I see some people are fanning, some people are putting on jackets. So I guess we'll just leave it like it is. But amen. We want to look at this again tonight on flawed characters. And we're picking up on a new character tonight. Want to begin to look into the life of David. And let's just read this out of Ruth chapter 4 to begin with. Verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So you daughter-in-laws, go home tonight and tell your mother-in-law that the scripture said, I was better to thee than seven sons. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to ask you to be with us tonight. Lord, feeling your presence here in our midst. And we just thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, all that we see you continuing to do. I just ask that you would be with the continuation of this service. Lord, thank you for the songs that we've heard. Thank you for the specials, Lord. And Lord, thank you for our musicians. And Lord, for those that are assembled out tonight, Lord, we just appreciate you. And Lord, we love you. And we love what you're doing for us. And we just ask you to continue to mold us and make us. And
Lord, if there's sickness in our midst, may you heal it tonight. Lord, if there's spiritual troubles or marital problems or financial problems or, Lord, just mental oppression or depression or anything like that that would come and try to attack your people, Lord, through the preaching of the word as we begin to look into your scriptures and the quotes of your prophet, Father, may all those things just move back from your people, Father. May you do something supernatural for them tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you tonight, and you can be seated. And in looking at this, we've been looking at Ruth and a type of the bride that she was, and Boaz being a type of Christ, and seeing how God moved in their lives, and he didn't leave them without a kinsman, and what a type it is of us today. And now Boaz had went in and redeemed not only Naomi, but he had redeemed Ruth and all that they had. And now he goes in, they have a son together, and he gives the genealogy. We've been reading the genealogy out of St. Matthew chapter 1, and we may pick that up again in a week or two, but we're just going to read it out of this latter part of the chapter of Ruth chapter 4. It says, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez was the son of Judah that came down through this lineage of Jesus, as we looked at a few weeks ago. It says, Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And we've been looking at this lineage and how that it came down through the different ones in the Bible, the different things that we've seen. And this lineage was almost trampled out repeatedly. Satan was always there trying to stop it. If you remember Sarah, when her and Abraham being the first in this lineage of the children of Israel, and we begin to look and see that Sarah was barren. And then from there, when Jacob went in, Leah wasn't his first choice, and all that happened there, and then Rachel being barren, but God working it all out and moving it down through. And then through Leah having Judah, it begins to bring down this lineage that we've been looking at. And Judah's eldest sons had died, and the youngest was not given to Tamar, and the situation that happened there to preserve this lineage. And then Rahab, who was a Gentile, had fallen into prostitution and probably wasn't ever expecting to marry a godly man, but yet God comes on the scene and works that out in the city of Jericho there, and she marries this captain, and it goes on and produces a Boaz. And then Naomi, her husbands and sons had died, leaving her and Ruth both widows without children. And just every situation that they came into, it looked like, well, this is going to be the end. It's never going to happen. But God, looking down through time, he had a plan and he had a purpose. And God, in his thinking, it wasn't so much that the seed of Christ was going to come physically through this group of men, but yet God in type was allowing this lineage to be brought up because there was a group, a man and a woman that was going to be married down through time, many hundreds and hundreds of years later after all this, that they were going to raise up this child, and it was going to be their child. Paul says it this way, and so did St. Peter, according to the flesh. Even though he wasn't born physically through a relationship of Joseph and Mary, yet God borrows Mary's womb to bring him forth, and he was raised by these godly parents. Acts chapter 2 verse 29, St. Peter says it this way. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Paul comes around and says it this way in Romans 1:3, said, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So they're going to raise up this child, and then in the millennium, Christ will sit again on the throne of David, and it won't be a kingdom that, like we looked at in the book of Kings, how one king would raise up and die and another one take his place, but it'll be an eternal kingdom. It'll be an eternal king, and all these men coming down through this lineage we've looked at All of them had flaws. All of them had struggles. All of them had things that Satan could throw off and say, well, look what you did here, and look at this, and look at that. But God was bringing it up to one that was flawless. And he was using these men who, through their mistakes and through all their things that they did, he was bringing it to a flawless one. And now in our day, we have men and women who, we've still got flaws, we've still got mistakes. As we looked at it the last two Sunday mornings, there's still things, our natures battling against each other, the nature of the law of this flesh, battling against that nature of the spirit or the soul that is born again of God, and that nature wants to do the law of God, but this flesh weighing it down. And these flawed men can have a flawless one living on the inside of them. The Identified Christ of All Ages, 1964, Brother Branham said he was the God prophet. What David was, what Moses was, what Elijah was, what all of it was, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the God prophet. He was God. Jehovah became a flesh in his own son, raised himself up a tabernacle to manifest himself in. All the rest of them failed. They had flaws, but there's no flaw in him. Even God himself said, this is my beloved son and who I'm pleased to dwell in. That's right. No flaw in him. Hear ye him. He was manifested God. And so we begin to look and see in the scriptures. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I've got things a lot out, you know, for the next couple of weeks here, and it's hard to hold back and not share some things. But as we begin to look at David, and I'll just go ahead and share this with you. And I know Brother Ben and some of these brothers that study a lot, Brother Stephen, different ones, they'll go and search it out before I get ahead of it. But I'll just give you a little sneak preview. The word David is used more in the Old Testament and the New Testament combined than any other name hardly that you can find. It's used more than Abraham. It's used more than Moses. It's used more than Jesus, this name David. That God would raise up him. He would be the son of David. And this name David is used over and over and over all throughout the Bible. You think of great men that as far as their lives, as far as their ministries, as far as things that they did, Moses is as far as a ministry and a prophet and things like that, would outweigh what David did a million to one. And then St. Paul and different ones, what they did as far as visions and their ministry and the type of things that they saw by revelation would outweigh what David did. You know, he was, even though he was anointed as a prophet, you know, sometimes you can look at it different ways. He was a king, but yet Peter here calls him a prophet. Brother Branham called him a prophet, but yet he wasn't a word prophet like we would look at as far as Moses or Isaiah or St. Paul or Brother Branham or somebody like that. But he was anointed to where he could begin to speak things in his psalms and different things, and not knowing what he was saying, he could say, they pierced my hands and my feet. And maybe David died and went on years later, and somebody stopped and say, wait a minute, nobody pierced David's hands and his feet. What was he talking about? But it wasn't David speaking. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through David of what would take place in Christ years later with that prophetic gift on him, anointing him in that way. And yet with all of David's mistakes, and we'll go through it and we'll look at him and all of his faults and all of his failures over and over and over again through the Bible, God refers to him and even said, he's a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Now, there's not a whole lot said except just in the lineage. When it goes from Boaz to Obed, and Obed to Jesse, and Jesse to David, there's hardly anything said about Obed except just in the lineage. Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. But there's, and usually the only thing said about Jesse is just in reference to David. And many times Saul won't even call him David. I don't know why Saul didn't like to call him by his name, but hardly ever in the Bible do you hear Saul referring to David by his name? He always said, bring me that son of Jesse. Well, there were seven sons of Jesse, but they knew who he was talking about. But he always said, bring me the son of Jesse. So Jesse's name is mentioned many, many times, but usually just in reference as being David's father or in relation to something he was saying about David in the story here. And we begin to look and see that Saul had been raised up as a king, and the people had came to Samuel, and they looked at all the other nations, and many times Brother Branham said, that's what we did. You know, we begin to look at the denominations and say, well, they have this and they have that, and we begin to pattern after them. And Israel had begun to look at these other nations, and they noticed they have a king to rule over them. And when they go out to battle, they have this king leading them, and they have somebody there that they can look to that's you know, oh my, he's kingly, and he's got a robe, and he's got a crown, and a man of great stature and wisdom. And they wanted somebody that they could look to as this type of a leader to put there. And Samuel begins to tell them, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that wasn't true? Have I ever asked you for your money? Have I ever begged you to give me your children to be your servants or any of these things? He said, oh no, Samuel, you're a wonderful prophet. We believe you're a prophet. And oh, we believe God uses you in a mighty way. But we just want somebody like everybody else has that we can go out here and put before us. And so in doing this, finally God just tells Samuel, go ahead and let him do it, but warn them. And he comes and tells them, God said you can have a king, even though he wanted to be the king over your heart. You can have a king, but he's gonna have your children come and fight for him. He's gonna tax you. He's gonna do all these different things. He's gonna want your money. He's gonna want your daughters to his wives. He's gonna want your sons for his battles. And they said, that's okay. We want a king. And so in their deciding and in their picking, and even though God had a hand in it and led Samuel to where it would be, he gave the people a king of their own choosing, of something what they were looking for, a man that was head and shoulders above the rest of the army. And my, he had broad shoulders and very princely looking or kingly looking, and the crown just fit right on his shoulders. And all might look at him, they thought, this is a man that we can get behind, and this is a man that we can follow. And as he walked out there for many years, he did a wonderful job as a king, but then he began to do things that was unpleasing to the Lord. And when this, we won't get into it yet, but as the story progresses, different things that he allowed to happen and different things that he did, the anointing began to leave Saul, and it was going from Saul down to a little shepherd boy down the road that nobody had ever heard of, but yet the anointing was moving and it was changing. And as we'll maybe get into it next week, as David begins to fight his battles and the people begin to see how much that God is with David, even the women begin to sing and write songs and said, oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And that was just a little more than Saul's pride could handle. And it began to cause him grief, and it began to cause him trouble. So now God is moving, and he's changing the kingship, the leadership, from off of Saul over to David. And Samuel's still, you know, trying to do everything he can to work with Saul. But God says, don't grieve for Saul. Just go on and do what I tell you. I want you to go down, and I want you to anoint somebody else's king. And he said, well, Lord, how can I do it? If Saul hears of it, I know he'll kill me. He said, you just go down and tell him you're going to have a sacrifice, but make sure you invite Jesse. Make sure you invite Jesse out to the sacrifice. Oh my, thank God that somebody said one day, oh, we're going to have a church service, or we're going to have a witnessing program, or we're going to pass out some books and tapes, and make sure you get it into the hands of this one or that one that was maybe your daddy or your grandpappy, or maybe you yourself, that somebody invited you to the sacrifice so that you could hear about it, so that you could be a part of it. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So Samuel sees Eliab come up, and he's David's oldest brother, and he reminds him a little bit of Saul, the way he walks and his stature. He's a tall man, and he just looks like he'd fit that part of the king. He said, here he is, I see him coming. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Oh, I'm thankful for that this evening. Then Jesus called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Jesse said unto, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now this was a young man that his daddy didn't even think to go and get him, let alone Samuel, who had never heard of him. And when they go to anoint this new king, he wasn't even in the picture. And they bring back all these, oh, bring me the sons of Jesse. Well, here they all are. But there was another one out there with the sheep that even his daddy hadn't invited to the picnic. And so, he goes and he sends for him. And he comes back and God said, this is the one. And maybe Samuel could look and think, Lord, are you sure? This little ruddy boy that looks, he's beautiful, looks like a mama's boy. And Brother Bram said he was curly-headed and all these different things. You know, he says about him, Brother Bram said when he went to fight Goliath, I believe he was about 14 years old. He said he was about 4.5 feet tall. And here, Goliath, 9.5 feet tall. Little short boy walks out there and maybe, you know, got his little slingshot in his hand, spinning it around. God said, that's my anointed. That's the one I wanted. Many times we look with the eyes and we think, oh, I bet this person would make a great this and that person would make a great that. Oh, the way they act and the way they talk and all that. But maybe down on the inside, bitterness and pride and all kinds of things that maybe we can't see with the eye. But God looks at the heart. And when God does his choosing, he looks at the heart. I'm thankful for that this evening. I'm thankful that God can look past our mistakes and look past our weaknesses and look past whether we're ugly or fat or bald or, you know, whatever it is and say, I'm not looking at the appearance, I'm looking at the heart. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, Brother Brandon breaks into this in Christ in 1955. He said, have they got another one? Said, yeah, oh, yes, I got a little old scrubby-looking fellow out yonder. He's kind of a fellow, stays to himself out there on the backside of the desert. Said, oh, God wouldn't put a crown on something like that. That little mission down yonder, you know, said he wouldn't put a crown on nothing like that. The prophet said, go get him. So I imagine they sang some hymns till they went and got little old David and brought him in, a little ruddy little fellow, you know, just a little bitty old dried up looking fellow. They brought him in, and as soon as they brought him in, I can imagine Jesse saying, well, that wouldn't work. And all the rest of them saying, that wouldn't work. But the Holy Ghost spoke to the prophet, said, I've chosen him, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He said, no matter whether you're in a cathedral, that don't have nothing to do with it. If you got a mission or a prayer meeting in your house, God looks to the honest heart. Amen. He said, that might be old-fashioned sassafras, but it'll sure stick with your ribs. It's good with you, certainly will. Yes, sir, God looketh on the heart, not the outward appearance. Many times when we're looking for something, we're not looking at what God wants and what God's will is, but we're looking at all what's beautiful to us. And many times if we're not careful, when you go to select a spouse and you're looking around, many times you look at this first instead of the character. You look at this verse instead of what do they believe and how do they live and all that. Many times when we're going to choose a job or we're going to choose a school or whatever it is that we're looking at to choose, many times, you know, they say you can't read a book by its cover or can't judge a book by its cover. I've been guilty of that many times. Look at a book and, oh my, that looks interesting. I'll buy that one and get home and it'd be, you know, just trash, not worth anything, no good in it. But it looked like such a beautiful cover. Look just wonderful. Look leather bound, and look at the picture on the front. That just tells a whole story of its own. And all mine, you get there and be about the most boring story you ever read. Why? You can't judge a book by its cover. Maybe it had a great illustrator, but maybe the story was just a mess. And so many times when we go to look, we think, oh my, that size of salary, and oh my, all these different things, or look how well dressed the children in this school are, or whatever it would be. That would be just right for what I'm looking for. But instead of looking so much to that, we need to look, what's God's will? Amen. If I can take a little bit less salary and be in God's will and help somebody and grow and be in the position God wants me to, I'd rather be in God's will. As I've said, people say, oh, Brother Nathan, you know, what about going over to Africa or going over to India or these different places? I said, if God calls me to do it, I'd be safer there in Haiti or out here in the jungles of Africa, wherever it is. If God has called me to do it or calls these other brothers to do it, you're safer there than you would be on your recliner in your living room, because you want to be wherever God calls you to be. You want to walk in whatever God's called you to do. And here David sits out on the backside of the desert, smelling like a bunch of sheep, and everybody had forgotten about him. And here he gets stuck with this job that there's not a lot of prestige about it, not a lot of people writing about him on the front lines of the newspapers. And you know, even his dad forgot to call him to the feast and through the sacrifice and all that. And here he is sitting out there watching these sheep, and he's got trial after trial. And as we've looked at it before, you know, he's sitting there, and a lion comes in, tries to take one of his sheep. Then a bear comes in and tries to take one of his sheep. But yet there was something inside of him. God had placed him there. Maybe he could look around at all the other shepherds and say, they don't ever have any bear problems. They don't ever have any lion problems. Why is it that I'm always going through trial after trial after trial? God was training him for something that was ahead of him. Amen. It took a bear and it took a lion to prepare him for a giant that was coming down the road. And many times we go through something and we think, God, why on earth would you allow me to go through this? Why would you allow my brother or my sister or this one or that one in the church? Why are they going through that? Maybe he's preparing you for something that's coming down the road that you don't have anything about, that when you get to it, you think, well, I faced the lion, I faced the bear, I guess I can face this one too. He got me through all that, so I'm sure I can get through this one. Amen. He says again, and there's a man here that can turn on the light in 1963. He said, David, when he was selected up there, the great fine brothers, when the prophet Samuel went up to anoint, all of them was standing there. Great, gallant man, look fine looking kings. But the very rejected one was the one David that had the oil poured out upon him. He says again, the same servant, it's the rejected that Christ picks up, see? The ones that's rejected. The ones that maybe everybody else gave up on and said, oh, they'll never make it. They'll never last. They'll never be a Christian. Or, oh, they said they got saved. Or they said they got the Holy Ghost. They won't make it. But it's those rejected ones sometimes. It's the one that God is really going to use to do something, that God's really going to use to be a help to somebody. And so David out here, well, he's out here with these sheep. He's bored and he doesn't have a whole lot to do. And so he begins to sit and he begins to play. And he had a stringed instrument. I know some people don't believe in him, but David did apparently. And he was out there and he would strum on that old stringed instrument. He would begin to speak, and God give him words, and he'd put it to the music and he'd begin to sing. And here he is out isolated to himself, but there must have been a troop of soldiers walked through there one day through the little field where he was sitting, and they begin to hear him play, and they begin to hear him sing, and they begin to recognize that there was an anointing upon this young boy. Even though he was out here to himself and nobody knew about him, there was an anointing on this young man that they recognized. And as the Spirit of God begins to leave Saul and it begins to go on to anoint David as king, and the Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord begins to get on Saul. And he would get upset and he'd get mad and he'd throw javelins at people and all. It was just a mess. And one of the people that was his counselor said, Saul said, we believe that, you know, music brings the presence of the Lord. And said, why don't you have a talented minstrel come and just play some music softly in your throne room. And when you get all upset and worked up, you know, maybe it would just be something that would bring a peace. And how many's ever been that way? That, oh my, everything's going wrong. And you just turn on some good gospel singing and it seems like everything gets a little better, and before you know it, you're singing right along, clapping your hands and patting your foot. Maybe you sisters cleaning the house, or you brothers driving down the road to your job or whatever, coming home from work and all stressed out and nervous, and you just begin to listen to some good anointed singing, and you begin to enter into that worship, and before you know it, it seems like everything's just faded away, and you're climbing that mountain a little bit higher and going on a little further. And so there was a soldier that stepped up and he said, King, he said, I don't mean to interrupt, but he said, there's a young man that I know of that's an anointed player. He's there's something about him. I heard him the other day, and I was going through a trial. We were out there marching, and we've been marching for miles, and I was discouraged, and we begin to hear something coming over a hilltop there, and there was a young boy, just a little bitty old boy, but he was out there playing and singing with some sheep, and oh, there was something about him that it just began to lift my spirits, and all that doubt and discouragement and things that I was going through, I just really needed a good Wednesday night. night service in the middle of the week to lift me up. And I was walking through the valley there. And oh, but by the time I got to the top of that mountain, I was clapping and patting my foot and said, I think he'd be the man for you. He said, oh, go get me that son of Jesse. Bring him over and let him play a little bit of music. And said, whenever that evil spirit from the Lord would begin to come on Saul, he would begin to play, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Saul would say, that's right. That's right. You know, things aren't too bad after all. And he'd sit down and listen a while. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, that's wonderful. Where do you come up with these lyrics, David? Oh, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. Even if thy rod and thy staff, they might seem hard sometimes, but they comfort me. He'd say, oh, David, my, I've never heard lyrics like that before. Can you sing me another verse of that? And, oh, you just enter into it and it just calm him and make him peaceable. But there had to be somebody that God led by to hear this. Here he is out in the middle of nowhere watching these sheep. But the soldier recognizes this and he takes the word back to Saul. And God begins to use him that way. And he brings him in. He's been watching over these sheep and taking care of them. And all these battles that he's gone through. But yet he was out there protecting the sheep. It might not have been popular. It might not have been on the front pages of the newspaper, but he was at his post of duty, doing what God had called him to do. And Brother Branham says this, and God called man in 1958, he said, God wants his shepherds to save the sheep, regardless what he has to be called and what he has to go through, save them sheep. He says again, the same sermon, and to think of a little boy. The Bible said he was ruddy. That means he's just a little bitty fella, you know. He said, just a little bitty fella. With a slingshot, you know what it is? A little piece of leather with the string on each side. And a hungry lion with already the taste of blood in his mouth run in and grabbed a sheep. And David looked up to God and said, I can't lose that one. You help me, Lord. Amen. I've heard some people say, well, you know, if somebody quits and just gives up and goes back in sin or leaves the message, or if they leave the church or whatever, they just went out from us because they weren't one of us. David didn't feel that way. He didn't say, well, oh my, well, guess that one just wasn't part of the flock. Oh, well, I ain't going to risk my life after that old lion. I guess he just wasn't one of us. Oh, I ain't going out there and fighting that and fighting this and talking to it through this and going through that and counseling this and counseling. Oh, my, I'm just glad to have them out of here. I guess they just wasn't one of us. He said, I can't lose that one. You help me, Lord. And he knocked the lion down with the slingshot. And when the lion rose up against him, that little boy and the lion weighing maybe about 500 pounds or better, and that little boy weighing maybe 70 or 80, he pulled from his little belt the knife. And the lion raised up, which could have killed 10 men in a couple of slaps. He grabbed the lion by the beard and killed him. He said, courage. God don't want cowards. He can't use you if you're afraid to take his word and believe him. He wants gallant men, won't pay no attention to nothing but what the Lord says. That's the kind he has to move with. Oh, sometimes it might not be popular. Sometimes you might not get bragged on. You might not get patted on the back and say, oh my, what a wonderful Christian you are. Oh my, look at what a good job you're doing. But you don't look at all that. Don't look at what man sees and what man's trying to do. You go and save those sheep. You go do whatever you want. But Brother Nate, then you just don't know how they've talked to me. You just don't know how they've treated me. You don't know what they've said about you and the church and all this. Oh, don't let that get in your way. You go save those sheep. What did he say? David said, I can't lose that one. You help me, Lord. Oh, but he talked bad about my nephew. He talked bad about my uncle. He talked bad about my grandpappy or my daddy or my mommy. I could never witness to that one. You don't worry about what they said or what they did. What about what you said? What about what you did? You go save those sheep. He says again, be not afraid, 1961. He said, well, now I want to ask you, what about you when you get all messed up and troubled? Don't you go to your pastor? Is that right? You should do it if you get in trouble. You should go to your brother and tell him, say, brother, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. I pray you to help me now to pray through till I get over this thing, or help me in my troubles. He said, isn't that the scriptural way to do it? Well, that's because he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's the one who gives the food out to you to eat. And he knows how to feed his sheep. And God has, the Holy Spirit has made him overseer of the flock to watch over them and take care of them. And that's what he's for. Oh, I thought a pastor was just supposed to get up and preach a sermon or play a tape. No, he said, that's what he's for. to help you when you're discouraged, to help you when you're going through something, to help you when you're going through, when, even maybe if you made a mistake or whatever it is, you say, oh, Brother Nathan, I could have, oh, I'm afraid you'd lose confidence in me. Oh, my, I'm sure there's things that I've done that, you know, if we just put them up here on a slideshow, you know, you'd probably lose confidence in me. This is what Brother Nathan did 3 years ago, and this is what he did last month, and this is what he thought today, and this is 50 years ago or before he was even born, but yet I knew what he was going to do, and this and this and this, and oh, my, you'd probably lose confidence pretty fast. You say, you mean the pastor? Oh yeah, what about you? You want us to put up your thoughts for the last week up here and say this was Monday and this was Tuesday and all this was last week. It was really terrible. And hey, he was ready to slap a guy on this day and he was ready to just, oh my, just go out and almost ran that car off the road this day. And we aren't priests. We aren't your confession box. You don't have to come up here and say, oh, Brother Layton, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. That's not what I'm talking about. Brother Joel's been there. He knows what that's like. I don't have no beads for you to rub. I don't have no curtain for you to pull. I don't have a confession box. You don't have to run and tell me every time you make a mistake. But if you're going through a trial and you're going through something that you feel like, God, this is bigger than me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I need help for me. I need help for my family. I need help about this situation at my work. Or I need help about this situation with my wife or my daughter or my son or whatever it is. And I've done all that I know to do. When God places people in your life to be a help and then you refuse to allow that to be a help, then don't come to me and say, oh, Brother Nathan, I don't know what happened. Well, I don't know what happened either. You wouldn't talk to me about it. I don't know what happened. Let me read it again. Let's just make sure he said it tonight. Be not afraid, 1961. Well, now I want to ask you, what about you? When you get all messed up in trouble, don't you go to your pastor? Is that right? You should do it if you get in trouble. You should go to your brother and tell him, say, brother, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. I pray you to help me now, to pray through till I get over this or help me in my troubles. Isn't that the scriptural way to do it? Well, that's because he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's the one who gives the food out to you to eat. And he knows how to feed his sheep that God has, the Holy Spirit has made him overseer of, over the flock to watch over them and take care of them. And that's what he's for. That's what he's for. I'm here to be a help to you. I'm not here. And, you know, I had a brother tell me something the other day. He called me and said, Brother Nathan, I just want you to pray about this situation. It was something that was confidential and something that he had on his heart and something that he had to share with me. And I said, brother, that don't make no difference. That don't change the way I feel about the person or who he was talking about or anything like that. I said, it's something that'll stay confidential. And I'll be praying with you about the situation. And we'll just be believing together. I said, you know, there's not anything we can do but just put it before the Lord. But sometimes it's nice to know that somebody else is praying with you. Sometimes it's nice to know that somebody else is there to help bear the burdens. Remember, the scripture tells us, it said, bear you one another's burdens. Amen. So we can't do it all on our own. There's some things that I have to go to and say, Brother Layton, I've got this on my heart, but I need you to pray with me. I want to make sure that I'm right. And I want to make sure that there's things that I go to different brothers. I say, you know, other pastor brothers. I say, I've got this decision, and I just want you to be praying with me about it, that I want to make sure I'm doing it right. And have you been through a similar situation? And how did you handle this in your church? And what did you do about, you know, how to run these services and how to do this and how to do that? And just because they did it that way doesn't mean that's how I'm going to do it, but sometimes it's nice to have somebody that you have confidence in that you can talk to and work with. And you know, I'm a full-time pastor now by the grace of God. And you know, as you know, I can't hold everybody's hand through every trial. And you know, every time, oh, Brother Nathan, somebody pulled in front of me at Walmart again today. And you know, I can't do that. I'm only a man. I only have so many hours in a day. But I think many times people think, oh, Brother Nathan's so busy, I don't want to bother him, and I don't want to take up his time, and the problem gets a little bit bigger. And oh, Brother Nathan, I don't want to disappoint him, and I don't want him to think less of me, and the problem gets a little bigger. And well, I just don't know at this point if he'd even understand or could relate to what I'm going through, and the problem gets a little bigger. And before you know it, Brother Nathan can't help anymore. You can't help anymore. Nobody can help anymore except just an absolute miracle from God. Why? Because you let it grow and grow and grow and grow. He said, isn't that the scriptural way to do it? Well, that's because he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's the one who gives the food out to you to eat. And he knows how to feed his sheep, that God has, the Holy Spirit, has made him overseer and over the flock to watch over them and take care of them. And that's what he's there for. David didn't get up and say, bless God, you know, I'm too tired today. I'm just going to let the old wolf and the old bear and the old lion, I'm going to let them have that one today. And, well, this one over here, he never was much of a good sheep anyhow. You know, he didn't really pay his tithes very well, and he didn't hardly show up anyhow, so we'll just let the lion have him. This one over here, he was always a bother and always wanting to suggest this and do this, and can we try this? And, you know, we'll just let the lion have him. No, he didn't feel that way. He went after every sheep that the lion came after. Jesus even one time said, he was walking there and the one went astray and he left the 99. Here he had 99. What's that one? What does that matter? I'd rather, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to stay with the 99 and watch them, make sure nothing happens to them. But no, he left those 99. He went after that one. I'm thankful that he did. Amen. We've all been there at some point in our life. Maybe most of us, I know myself, maybe been there many times where I needed him to come after me and convict me and say, no, don't you do that. Don't you go there. Don't you do this. He maybe left the 99 and came after you again and again and again. He was merciful. I thank God for that we serve a God like that, that he doesn't just throw us to the wayside, but he puts these types in the scriptures to where we can see the anointing on these men as they came down through, how that God used them. And let me just tell you tonight, if I can ever be a help to you, I don't care if it's 4 a.m. or what time it is. I've had people call me 3 or 4 a.m. with a problem. Oh, Brother Nathan, I'm in the middle of something. Sometimes people, not even for their church, and from our church. And sometimes the initial reaction is, well, where's your pastor? But you know what? We pray for him anyhow. It's a sheep. Even if it's not our sheep, it's a sheep. And if we can be a help to somebody, if we can do something for somebody, we want to do what we can to help. Maybe, you find out sometimes people that say things maybe even say terrible things about you, but there's some point in time, maybe they realize, I need help from somebody. I need to talk to somebody. You can't get this attitude that, well, bless God, I remember what you said about me last year, and I remember how you treated my nephew last year, and I remember how you dealt with this situation last year, and I wouldn't walk across the street to help you. No, that's not God. That's not the grace of God. That's not how our Lord Jesus is. There they were, beating him and striping him, spitting in his face, ripping out his beard, piercing his head with thorns, putting nails in his hands and his feet. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we think we go through trials sometimes. God help us. But David was a real shepherd. And he was there. And he was whatever it took, he was going to go after that sheep. Oh, my God, help us to be the right kind of parents, to be the right kind of husband and wife, to be the right kind of a friend, to be the right kind of, help me, God, to be the right kind of pastor, all these things, these roles that we're filling. Maybe, you know, sometimes I feel like I wear a lot of hats. I'm the song leader and the pastor and a husband and a father and a son and all these different things. But yet I want to do all those things, a friend, a brother, you know, whatever. I want to fulfill all those roles to the best of my ability. I can't do it on my own, but I know somebody that can help me. Amen. Amen. Maybe you have a lot of roles that you fill too. Maybe you have a lot of things that you're juggling in your life. But oh God, just help us to do all that we can. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I kept it under an hour tonight, Brother Yarborough. Amen. I'm trying to work on that. Sometimes I get on a topic and it's just, you know, burning it in my heart and trying to, where do I stop and what do I try to get into this one? And I'm trying to learn by the help of the Lord. I want to try to keep it about 45 minutes and not wear you out. But sometimes it's more like an hour, but you just pray for me. Sometimes maybe you need that extra 15 minutes, though, to just really make sure you get it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you help us, Lord, just to be what you want us to be. Lord, each one facing different situations and going through trials. Lord, help us never to be too proud to reach out for help, Lord, whether it be to a spouse or to the pastor or one of the deacons or whoever it would be. Father, help us to recognize that you use others and that, Lord, you didn't mean for us to be alone. As I was looking at it a few weeks ago, when you started into creation, everything that you created the moon and the stars, the planets, you created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the land, the seas, the birds of the air, the trees, the grass in the field, Everything you created, you said it is good. And then you created man, and it was the first time you'd ever said it. You said it's not good for man to dwell alone. God, help us not to feel like we have to pull ourselves back away from everybody and go through every battle on our own, but help us to recognize that we have a body of believers here. Lord, as I've heard so many say, Lord, it just encourages my heart that this little church, it feels like more than a church. It feels like a family. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for family members that are part of the family of God that can be an encouragement to me when I'm feeling low, and that I can be an encouragement to them. And Lord, help us to lift one another up and to be there for one another. Lord, it's not good for us to dwell alone, but Father, help us to be there for each other. Lord, as I sing so many times, may I never get too busy to help my brother, my sister, the different ones that are facing loads. Help me, Lord, to bear their... Lord, I can't do it all on my own, but help me to do my part. And then when I can't do any more, help me just to be able to put it in your hands, Father. Be with each one of us, Father. Use us as you see fit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. This is number 27, if you don't know all the words to it. Oh, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are thank you.
Thank you.
feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it. Oh, no, the devil, he don't like it. Talking.